Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice. Flooding across San Diego has displaced more than 1,200 families. Today, we'll tell you about a family that helped save their neighbors and now needs help to repair their home and replace all that's been lost. The county has approved funds for temporary housing for flood survivors, and we'll have details on our show today. Four candidates are running to become judges in contested races on your March 5th primary ballot. We'll have some details for you on the candidates to help you judge which ones should win your votes in these important judicial races. The Water Conservation Garden at Cuyamaca College has closed to the public while it reorganizes amid a financial crisis. Who may take over operations of this community treasure? Learn more in our special report. Then on Crime Beat, hear about a suspect arrested after ramming his pickup truck into a sheriff substation in Ramona. The County of San Diego is holding a series of Love Your Heart events all month long where you can get blood pressure readings and heart health information. A recall has been issued on numerous cheese products and products containing those cheeses. Find out what you need to know to protect your family's health from listeria. Link to these products on our show today. The City of El Cajon is seeking nominations for its Youth of the Year awards. Find out how to nominate one today. AT&T is asking state regulators for permission to end its requirement to maintain land telephone lines, a proposal that, if approved, would leave some local residents in rural and border areas without communication, even during emergencies. Find out how to have your voice heard on this important issue. Former President and current presidential candidate Donald Trump has threatened not to support America's NATO allies, even those that supported the U.S. after the 9/11 attacks. His announcement has drawn sharp criticisms from NATO, European leaders, a former NATO commander, and the Biden campaign. From Public News Service, we'll have more national news, including a March date set for Trump's first criminal trial over hush money payments, federal efforts to increase availability of child care, and more. And then on Destination East County, we'll tell you about all sorts of fun festivals and events coming up across East County, from Fido Fest and a desert art show to a moonlight hike and concerts by some well-known artists in our inland region. Ramona's Project Wildlife team has been working to rehab an injured mountain lion cub, and we'll have details. From California News Service, hear a report on police in our state solving the lowest number of crimes on record, despite increased spending on policing. And finally, on Sounds of History, learn about the African-American heritage in Julian, East County's historic Gold Rush town. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ, where East County matters. More than 1,200 San Diegans remain displaced from homes damaged by flooding on January 22nd, including Beba Zarate, a teacher and her two sons. The Zarate family helped get neighbors to safety amid rising floodwaters when emergency agencies were overwhelmed. But they had no flood insurance, and they lost nearly everything. They have put up a GoFundMe page, but so far, only a few hundred dollars have been raised. Their home on Osborne Street in San Diego's Shelltown neighborhood had water 4 feet deep rush in when a creek flooded. Other than help to remove trash and damaged furniture, Beba Zarate says, "We are hardly getting any help from the county or the city." Nonprofits provided basic essentials such as clothes, shoes, and cleaning supplies. But so far, neither FEMA nor state nor local governments have stepped up with the major financial resources needed to help this family rebuild their homes and lives. Their one-story home needs major repairs, and nearly all of the family's belongings need to be replaced, including Beba's computer and teaching materials, kitchen appliances, furniture, and more. They also lost items of sentimental value, including family photographs damaged by floodwaters that reached 4 feet deep. Beba Zarate returned home the day of the severe storm to find water several feet high rushing into the house. She knew they needed to evacuate, and she asked her son to call 911. They were transferred to the fire department and put on hold. But they couldn't wait any longer as the water level kept rising, so Beba and her two adult sons picked up their three dogs and waited outside. They realized water was flowing down a hill behind their home as well as from a creek. Bebezerate helped organize neighbors to help each other. She urged some to climb to the top of the hill. Then she drove to her father's house to get dry clothes for neighbors who were soaking wet, including a woman with a 10-month-old baby. For now, the Zarate family is staying with relatives. They've begun removing parts of walls and cleaning muddy debris in every room. But they need help to restore their house and move back into their home. The flood caused the family another loss, leaving them financially unable to travel to Texas to see Beba's third son graduate from the Air Force Academy. Despite their devastation, she is trying hard to find a silver lining. She told East County Magazine, "We are here, still alive. I'm so grateful for being here," she concludes, adding, "We are living one day at a time and learning lessons. We all have to be prepared." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Danita with a public service announcement from the County of San Diego. The county is now providing people displaced by the January 22nd flooding with up to 30 days of temporary lodging. The first people transitioning are in two categories: those already placed into short-term hotel rooms where supporting funding is now running out, and those who have not been in hotels but may now need temporary lodging due to flood damage. The county earlier identified many people in need of lodging through a survey or through visits to one of the local assistance centers. People who were displaced by the January 22nd flooding and have not filled out the survey or visited a local assistance center can call 211 to apply for the emergency lodging. These new applications will be accepted through February 23rd. When people submit a new application by calling 211, an operator will ask for information such as the location of their flooded home, pets, household size, and medical needs that require accommodations. That information will be submitted by 211 to the county. The county expects this program will provide temporary lodging for hundreds of households. Funding is from a $10 million flood relief program unanimously approved by county supervisors on January 30th. For more information about the county's flood response, you can visit alertssandiego.org.
Two contested judicial seats are on the ballot in the March 5th primary election, with two contenders for each seat. Judicial candidates aren't allowed to answer questions about their views on issues due to judicial ethics standards, but their experience, achievements, and endorsements can provide voters with guidance. So here are some facts about these candidates seeking to become judges. Seat 41 pits Senior Assistant Attorney General Jody Kleesaddle against Deputy District Attorney Brian Erickson. Jody Kleesaddle has nearly 30 years of experience as a trial lawyer. As a Senior Assistant Attorney General, she oversees a statewide team of 90 attorneys and paralegals, supervising litigation of cases including government tort liability, personal injury, wrongful death, civil rights, and more. She was named Public Lawyer of the Year by the California Lawyers Association. Her endorsements include the Lawyers Club of San Diego, which endorses candidates who exhibit qualities of integrity, impartiality, and equity. She is also endorsed by the San Diego County Democratic Party, Run Women Run, and many judges and politicians, and the Public Defenders Association of San Diego. Her opponent, Brian Erickson, has served as a San Diego Deputy District Attorney for the past 20 years. He is currently assigned to the Cold Case Homicide Division. Formerly, he prosecuted felony domestic violence, child abuse, and elder abuse cases in the Family Protection Unit. His endorsements include District Attorney Summer Steffen, the San Diego County Republican Party, several judges, the San Diego Deputy District Attorneys Association, the San Diego County Deputy Sheriffs Association, and several local police officers' associations. For seat 43, family law specialist and law professor Corin Shepherd is running against prosecutor Valerie Summers. Valerie Summers is a prosecutor in the District Attorney's Office where she has headed up the Family Protection Division, as well as the Sex Crimes and Human Trafficking Division. Previously, she was Assistant Chief of the Gang Prosecution Unit. She has also taught criminal justice-related courses at UC San Diego and Cal State San Marcos. Her endorsements include District Attorney Summer Steffen, the San Diego County Republican Party, the San Diego County Deputy District Attorneys Association, numerous judges, the San Diego County Deputy Sheriffs Association, and conservative politicians. Her opponent, Corin Shepherd, is a certified family law specialist with 15 years experience. She is also an adjunct professor for civil procedure at Thomas Jefferson School of Law. She is on the board of the San Diego Family Law Board Association. Shepherd's endorsements include the San Diego Family Law Bar Association, the San Diego County Democratic Party, numerous judges and attorneys, and State Senate President Pro Tem Tony Atkins. You can read about these judicial candidates so that you can cast your judgment on Election Day at eastcountymagazine.org in our politics section. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Tidwell.
The Water Conservation Garden at Cuyamaca College, a treasured community destination, has closed temporarily amid efforts to reorganize under new leadership. Interim Executive Director Lauren Magnuson announced in an email sent to media and supporters of the garden, "As we celebrate our 25th anniversary this year, we will be undergoing major structural changes. A reopening date will be announced in the future." She added, "The garden is committed to reopening and continuing its mission to educate and inspire the community to promote water conservation. We look forward to welcoming you back soon with a renewed and thriving water conservation garden experience." The temporary closure announcement follows months of financial concerns stemming from large loans taken out by the garden's former director, Jennifer Pillsbury, during and after COVID, as we have previously reported. The loans total over $1 million and include a Small Business Association COVID loan, a mission-funded finance loan that's now past due, and a loan from the Grossmont-Cuyamaca Community College District. Those loans have left the nonprofit Friends of the Water Conservation Garden, which has been operating the facility, financially encumbered. Friends had anticipated receiving nearly $250,000 federal employee retention credit, and they retained employees in good faith, but the federal government froze all ERC credits, exacerbating the financial problems. Though ERC funds have recently been unfrozen and that money is anticipated to come in the next few months, the garden has run out of operating funds even after furloughing employees and drastically slashing costs with Magnuson at the helm. Discussions are now underway for a different entity to take over operation of the garden. Prospects include the Grossmont-Cuyamaca Community College District or the garden's Joint Powers Authority, which includes multiple area water agencies as members, or a new nonprofit entity could be formed to operate and raise funds for the garden for its operations and programs in the future. JPA member Kathleen Hedberg, who's also a director in the Helix Water District, posted on Facebook in reaction to news of the garden's closure, "I will, as your Helix Water District representative, work hard to ensure that it will not be closed for long. We will restructure operations," she promised. The garden's army of about 100 volunteers have voiced eagerness to help, but they can't do so until a new entity can provide insurance for the facility. The Tomato Mania event, slated for March 8th and 9th at the garden, will instead be moved to the Mission Hills Nursery in San Diego, Tomato Mania organizers announced. The Spring Garden Festival has also been canceled for this year, along with educational programs and the garden's popular wellness classes such as yoga. On the garden's Facebook page, members of the public voiced concerns, fond memories, and hopes that the garden can survive and thrive. Elizabeth Adkins posted, "This place is very special to me. I spent some of my dad's last days walking the garden with him. He loved it there. My children also have very fond memories of running the paths during COVID." Mary Ann Murphy Claggett called the garden a gem and voiced confidence that it will open again. Susanna Kaufman wrote, "I am beyond gutted by this. This place is a treasure, and one I walk in every weekend and during school vacations. Please let us know how we can help to keep this open." How we can help to keep this open. A new fund is expected to be established soon. For now, people can donate at thegarden.org. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is East County Magazine's Crime Beat. On the streets, reporting on crimes impacting communities across our region, helping to keep you safe and informed.
This is Zara Vaughn with a Crime Beat report. 21-year-old George Aguilar has been arrested after reportedly ramming his pickup truck into the back gate of the San Diego County Sheriff's substation in Ramona on February 10th, says Detective Thomas Sutton. Earlier that morning, around 3 a.m., deputies had stopped six people at the intersection of Libera and Ramona streets, arresting three of them, including Aguilar, for illegal possession of narcotics and concealed firearms. He was released from Ramona Sheriff's substation with the notice to appear in court. The two others who were arrested were booked on felony firearm and drug-related charges. According to Detective Sutton, Aguilar returned to Ramona Sheriff's substation at 7:30 a.m. in a pickup truck, rammed the back gate, and fled before deputies could respond. Deputies identified Aguilar as the driver thanks to nearby residents who witnessed the collision. Deputies located Aguilar's damaged truck parked in his home in Ramona and arrested him on new charges of felony vandalism. Due to the amount of damage, he was booked into San Diego Central Jail.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from San Diego's East County.
This is Zarbon with a health report. The county's Love Your Heart campaign is celebrating 13 years of supporting San Diegans and understanding the importance of heart health, including hosting no-cost blood pressure screenings at locations throughout the county and Mexico. Heart disease is a leading cause of death in the United States and second leading cause of death in San Diego County and Mexico. In 2020, nearly 5,000 people died in San Diego County from heart diseases. Knowing your blood pressure numbers is vital to good heart health. This year's Love Your Heart offers screenings that start on Valentine's Day, February 14th, and that will continue through February 29th. You can find locations near you by searching online for Love Your Heart San Diego. Nora Vargas, chairwoman of the San Diego County Board of Supervisors, says this simple 5-minute test can save your life. Over the years, the county has worked bi-nationally with partners in Mexico to increase awareness of heart disease and encourage blood pressure monitoring. Knowing your numbers and making small changes to your daily life, including dieting and exercise, are important to the prevention of heart disease, cardiac arrest, and stroke. Last year's Love Your Heart campaign reached more than 7.8 million people. Community partners were able to distribute more than 32,000 blood pressure monitors at no cost to underserved residents.
This is Miriam Raftery with a health alert. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has issued an alert warning consumers about a deadly listeria outbreak tied to queso fresco and cotija cheese products. The outbreak has resulted in 26 illnesses in 11 states, including 8 in California, 23 hospitalizations, and 2 deaths. The cheeses, which have been recalled, include many product names and brands sold through major retailers. The products include solid and grated cheeses, meal kits, salad dressings, dips, yogurts, salad kits, enchiladas, taco kits, and more. View a full list of the recalled cheese products at the Centers for Disease Control's website at cdc.gov/listeria. Do not eat any recalled products. Throw them out or return them to the store for a refund. Listeria can survive in the refrigerator and spread easily to other foods and surfaces, so it's important to clean your refrigerator, containers, and surfaces that may have touched any recalled products. Listeria is especially harmful to people who are pregnant, age 65 or older, and those with weakened immune systems. It can cause pregnancy loss, premature birth, or a life-threatening infection in a pregnant woman's newborn. For those 65 or older, or with weakened immune systems, listeria often results in hospitalization and sometimes death. The symptoms usually start within 2 weeks after eating food contaminated with listeria, but may start as early as the same day or as late as 10 weeks later. Pregnant women usually have fever, muscle aches, and tiredness. People who are not pregnant usually have fever, muscle aches, and tiredness, but may also get a headache, stiff neck, confusion, loss of balance, or seizures. Call a healthcare provider right away if you have any symptoms of listeria after eating the recalled products.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from San Diego's East County.
The City of El Cajon's Teen Coalition is now accepting nominations for the Youth of the Year Award. This accolade is aimed at recognizing exceptional middle and high school students who have shown an extraordinary commitment to serving their community within the City of El Cajon. The Youth of the Year Award honors one middle school and one high school student who have demonstrated outstanding service to their community, going above and beyond the call of duty to make a significant impact. Eligibility for this award is reserved exclusively for youths who either reside in the City of El Cajon or are enrolled in a school within the city's boundaries. This year's award will celebrate service achievements made during calendar year 2023. The aim is to highlight and commend the hard work, dedication, and positive influence these young individuals have contributed to their community. Nominations are now open and will be accepted through April 1st. If you would like to nominate a teenager for El Cajon's Youth of the Year Award, you can download the application off the city's website in the Parks and Recreation section by clicking the Teen Coalition tab. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Danita Ramirez.
Jobs and finances, food systems, health, and housing. Data shows these areas have some of the largest equity gaps in the San Diego region. San Diego County's Office of Equity and Racial Justice, or OERJ, has released the county's first Equity Indicators report. The report comes in the wake of the county's declaration of racism as a public health crisis in January 2021. According to County News Service, many county residents face oppression due to their race and ethnicity, gender, immigration status, disability, class, and where they live. These residents suffer from inequities and racial disparities in ways that affect their health, safety, education, and wealth throughout their lifetimes. The report clarifies where help is needed most so that the county and other regional providers can identify spending priorities in the future and provide residents with data to assist in advocating for their communities. The data will be updated annually to measure progress towards improving the quality of life for everyone. Researchers collected data from 2019 through 2022 through county departments, community groups, stakeholders, regional and state data sources, and the U.S. Census Bureau. Here are some of the most important findings. Regarding jobs and wages, only 27% of people with disabilities were in the workforce versus 72% of non-disabled people. Black and disabled people had the lowest employment rates in the workforce. People of color, immigrants, and disabled residents were more likely to be below 200% of the federal poverty level than other county residents. About 36% of residents did not make a self-sufficient wage. Many residents also face food insecurity. Black or African American people were more than three times as likely to be enrolled in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, called CalFresh in California, for food benefits than white people. Many areas of the county had few or very few grocery stores. The study also found health disparities. Low birth weight was twice as common among births to Black or African American mothers compared to white mothers. There was a 9.8-year gap between the lowest and highest life expectancies by race. Over a quarter of census tracts in San Diego County experienced either a mental health, dental, or primary care shortage. Native Americans were five times more likely to be uninsured compared to white residents. Hispanic or Latinos were more than three times more likely, and Black or African Americans were twice more likely to lack health insurance. San Diego is one of the most expensive housing markets in the nation, and some minorities have been hardest hit. White and Asian households were twice as likely to own their home compared to Black or African American residents. About 38% of households were cost burdened. Black or African American households were more likely to spend over half of their income on housing compared to other households. The cities of San Diego, El Cajon, Oceanside, and Chula Vista had the highest percentage of people experiencing homelessness in 2022. The Equity Report also includes statistics on early childhood development, education, communities and civic life, infrastructure, parks and natural resources, crime, and the legal system. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, your network for social justice, this is John Tidwell.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ. AT&T has filed an application asking the California Public Utilities Commission, or CPUC, to end AT&T's obligation to serve as a carrier of last resort and to stop maintaining landline telephone service. If the CPUC approves the request, landline phone service could end as early as 6 months later, including all of San Diego County. There are no in-person hearings in San Diego, but you can voice your opinion in a CPUC virtual hearing March 19th at 2 p.m. and 6 p.m., or you can send comments via email or email to the CPUC. Details on how to do that are available on the CPUC site or on our website at eastcountymagazine.org. The Rural County Representatives of California warns, if approved by the CPUC, over 580,000 affected AT&T customers would be left with fewer options in terms of choice, quality, and affordability. Alternative services, such as VoIP and wireless, have no obligation to serve a customer or to provide equivalent services to AT&T landline customers, including no obligation to provide reliable access to 911 or Lifeline program discounts. Now, AT&T is also asking the CPUC to end its eligible telecommunications carrier designation, meaning it would no longer be able to get federal funds for Lifeline, a federal program to assure phone service for low-income consumers. These consumers could face rate hikes as a result. Now, these proposals have drawn strong opposition from rural residents right here in San Diego's East County and elsewhere in California, as well as from consumer advocates who warn that ending landlines would leave many in rural or remote locations with no reliable phone service at all, since Internet VoIP phone service is not widely available in many places, and some areas also lack cell phone connectivity. Even for those with cell service, landlines have proven life-saving options when cell towers have burned down, such as in Potrero, where wildfires have burned down cell towers more than once. Pine Valley resident Dennis Berglund, an engineer with Preax Corporation, told East County Magazine, during the 2003 and 2007 fires, all cell phone communications and power was down, so the only communication we had at our ranch was our landline. He adds, if this proposal is accepted by the CPUC, many rural residents will not have any means of emergency communications. He notes that cell phone towers and even fiber optic feeds do not have reliable backup power, so when there's a power outage, they don't work. By contrast, the landline does not depend on local power, so you will have communications even during power outages. In our local rural and mountain areas, power outages are frequent, and SDG&E often shuts off power proactively during high fire danger conditions, sometimes for days at a time. Boulevard resident Michelle Strand says she keeps a landline in case of emergency if cell phone service was disrupted, so she can have peace of mind and be able to call her elderly parents, who also have only a landline. She says, without communication, especially during disasters, we are helpless and clueless. Earl Goodnight, chair of the Boulevard Community Planning Group in East County, says our cell service is spotty in Boulevard. For instance, there is no cell service at the Resource Center. That's where the planning group meets. For residents very near the international border, cell phones connect to Mexican cell towers, meaning international long-distance calling charges may apply, former Boulevard Planning Group Chair Donna Tisdale has told us previously. So cell phones for border residents is not a viable alternative to landlines. The Utility Reform Network, or TURN, and the Center for Accessible Technology have filed as interveners in the case before the CPUC, and they urge consumers to oppose the proposal. So far, the CPUC has received over 2,300 comments opposed to AT&T's plan to end landlines and another 600 comments opposed to the proposed changes impacting Lifeline customers. AT&T argues that the mandate for AT&T, but not its competitors, to maintain a system of copper wiring for landlines while also investing in wireless and broadband phone technologies means that AT&T must, quote, wastefully operate and maintain two duplicate networks, unquote. The company says there is dwindling demand for its landline network. Kevin Keene, an electrical engineer who has studied telecommunications and worked in the field, says the real problem is the proposed replacement communication systems are inadequate. He acknowledges problems in maintaining a landline system that dates back to the steam engine era and says that AT&T now has to hunt for spare parts on eBay and flea markets. Keene believes the end of landline service is unavoidable. But he wants to see a legal mandate first for all cell phone towers to have 72-hour backup power. In addition, he proposes that either internet or cell phone providers must be mandated to meet carrier of last resort requirements with full coverage for every house, even those in remote locations. He also wants to see coverage requirements for internet providers enforced, stating, currently, if even just one house in a census tract is covered, internet providers can claim coverage for the whole census tract. Those who have communications that are dependent on electricity ought to invest in a generator or a solar charger for their cell phones, he suggests. But that only works if you actually have cell phone service or broadband phone service, which many rural areas, including some East County communities, lack. Several years ago, we at East County Magazine ran an article about John Klatka, a llama rancher whose prize-winning llama died of a rattlesnake bite when his AT&T landline was temporarily down, a rare condition. He did not have cell service in his rural humble home and had no way to call for help. What if that had been a child in distress, or an adult suffering a heart attack, or a disabled person needing help to evacuate during a wildfire? Lives are at stake. Residents without cell phone service or broadband phone service could also be left unable to receive emergency calls, including evacuation notices, potentially leading to mass tragedy in the event of a fast-moving wildfire, flood, or other disaster. Beyond the CPUC regulatory matters, Keene says, the underlying issue is with the Federal Communications Commission, or FCC, which consists of 5 members, usually 3 from the president's party, including the chair. Under the previous Donald Trump administration, the chair of the FCC, Ajit Pai, had been actively working to undermine such efforts, even trying to ban states from implementing more consumer-friendly rules, Keene points out, adding that the current chair, Jessica Rosa Warsaw, is pushing for exactly the types of changes that are needed to protect consumers. But, he warns, depending on the outcome of the next election, Ajit Pai, or somebody similar, may well end up back as chair of the FCC. And that would be bad news for rural consumers, desperately needing communication at all times, especially during emergencies.
You're listening to the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for San Diego's inland region. Now stay tuned for part 2 of the East County Magazine radio show.
Former President Donald Trump, the presumptive Republican nominee in the 2024 presidential election, sent shockwaves around the world on February 10th when he said that if he is reelected, he will not defend U.S. allies under the North Atlantic Treaty Alliance, or NATO, unless they have paid at least 2% of their gross domestic product on defense. Trump claimed that he told the leader of a major ally that if Russia were to attack that nation, I would not protect you. In fact, I would encourage them to do whatever the hell they want, referring to Russia. His comments at a South Carolina rally have drawn strong rebukes from NATO and world leaders. Retired General Wesley Clark, former NATO Supreme Allied Commander, called the remarks treasonous in a CNN interview. He also issued this statement. On 9/11, when America was under attack, NATO nations all mobilized to come to our defense and fought alongside us to crush Al-Qaeda. They didn't ask us for money. They didn't put strings on it. That is the kind of ironclad commitment that has kept Western democracies, including our own, alive for 75 years. General Clark added, for Donald Trump to publicly signal to Vladimir Putin that he can take as much of Europe as he wants and we will sit by and cheer him on isn't just breaking the promise the United States has made, and it isn't just threatening Europe. It is encouraging World War III, which will hit our shores and cost American lives. NATO is not an alliance based on dues. Trump misrepresented that. It is the largest military bloc in history, formed to face down the Soviet threat during the Cold War, based on the collective defense principle that an attack on one is an attack on all. That principle, enshrined in Article 5 of NATO's founding treaty, is what Trump threatens to violate. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg also sharply criticized Trump's comments, stating, "Any suggestion that allies will not defend each other undermines all of our security, including that of the U.S., and puts Americans and European soldiers at increased risk." Trump's comments came amid rising tensions in Europe since Russia's unprovoked invasion of Ukraine. European leaders fear that if Russia is not defeated in Ukraine, Russian President Vladimir Putin will next order invasion of other European nations. And yet, Trump opposes U.S. aid to Ukraine. Polish Prime Minister Donald Tusk said in response to Trump's remarks, "We have a hot war at our border," Associated Press reports. Poland's leader voiced concerns about whether the United States will show, quote, "full solidarity with other NATO countries in this confrontation that promises to last for a long time with Russia." President Joe Biden's campaign issued a statement noting that his administration has worked with allies to build a NATO alliance that is stronger than ever and stands in defense of democracy against Vladimir Putin's authoritarian aggression. Serving as commander-in-chief is the ultimate responsibility, according to Biden, who adds, "Donald Trump's admission that he intends to give Putin a green light for more war and violence, to continue his brutal assault against a free Ukraine, and to expand his aggression to the people of Poland and the Baltic states are appalling and dangerous." The president concludes, "Freedom and democracy are on the ballot this November." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. KNSJ Radio is dedicated to providing nonprofit news in the public interest, not special interests. We rely on your support to continue bringing you important stories from San Diego and East County that you won't hear anywhere else. Please make a generous donation at knsj.org to sustain KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
Next up, we have a few headline stories from Public News Service, and then we'll be back with some East County events and more local news.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast, February the 16th, 2024. I'm Mike Clifford. Donald Trump's hush money trial will go ahead as scheduled, with jury selection starting March 25th. A New York judge ruled Thursday, turning aside demands for delay from the former president's defense lawyers, who argued it would interfere with his campaign to retake the White House. That from the Associated Press. And immigrants whose cases are heard in Omaha's immigration court are often denied their due process rights. That's according to an ACLU Nebraska report. Details now from Deborah Van Fleet.
Data was collected from more than 500 pre-trial hearings. Due process violations included judges not informing people of their rights more than 80% of the time. And interpretation services were almost always provided in Spanish rather than an individual's preferred language. Report lead author Dylan Severino stresses these are violations of immigrants' legal rights.
We saw a lot of evidence that many of them weren't given proper access to the procedural due process rights that our Constitution guarantees. And we're talking about life or death here sometimes with asylum. People are being sent back to countries where they're scared they're going to be killed.
Other concerns include the extremely short duration of most pretrial hearings, typically under 4 minutes, and that roughly 20% of the immigrants didn't have an attorney. Severino says universal representation could be a solution.
At least 55 jurisdictions in 21 states have implemented universal representation. This is Public News Service. The energy data company Energy Sage finds Connecticut residents spend around $283 a month on electricity. That is 61% higher than the national average. Next, our Eric Tegadoff reports parents often struggle to secure after-hours child care.
The Department of Children, Youth, and Families is requesting funds to increase the bonus to $500 a month for facilities that provide care before 6 a.m., after 6 p.m., and on the weekends. Alejandra Alarcon owns three Spanish immersion daycare facilities east of Seattle. She says it's hard to find people to work non-traditional hours.
Handling the expenses and the payroll and all the things that we need to have for running the daycare and can give the service that the families need.
Lawmakers are expected to release their budgets next week. The legislative session ends March 7th.
Finally, Wisconsin is part of a movement to reduce livestock emissions by converting manure into energy sources.
Anaerobic digesters create biogas by removing methane from livestock waste. The gas can then be used for electricity, heat, or vehicle fuel. Supporters say the process limits methane from reaching the atmosphere. The USDA's REAP program helps fund these projects on farms in Wisconsin and elsewhere. Andy Olson with the Environmental Law and Policy Center says the jury's still out on the effectiveness of digesters, and he urges the USDA to keep science in mind when considering these projects.
There's how things work in paper, and then there's how things work on the ground. And there's a lot of space in between the two.
Olson says the industry still needs to overcome challenges like methane leaks. I'm Mike Moen.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for ending your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on great radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find your trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Welcome to East County Magazine's Destination East County, bringing you all of the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County each week.
This is John Tidwell.
And this is Miriam Raftery with this week's Destination East County, bringing you the top festivals and events coming up across San Diego's inland region.
The City of Santee's 8th Annual Fido Fest will take place Saturday, February 17th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Town Center Community Park East. This family and dog-friendly event is an opportunity to view adoptable dogs from 20 local rescue groups. There will also be vendors, arts and crafts, Yappy Hour, Treat Finder, Doggy Tattoos, and Off-Leash Area, Flyball Demonstration, an Agility Course, and a sniff station. You can show off your four-legged friend in costume, size, and trick contests for a chance to win prizes. The County Sheriff's Department and Santee Fire Department will demonstrate their canines' capabilities. Plus, the San Diego Humane Society will be providing microchipping and pet licensing services. City staff members will collect donations of unopened dog food, pet bedding, blankets, and new toys will be given to rescue groups. You can stop by the city's information booth to drop off your donation in exchange for an entry into the opportunity drawing. Find more details at SanteeSpecialEvents.com.
Space Bar Cafe and Wine Bistro in La Mesa hosts its next comedy night on February 23rd at 7:30 p.m. This month's show promises an uproarious evening with a stellar lineup of talented comedians. Beyond the laughter, Space Bar also offers foods made from locally sourced ingredients. For more information, you can visit at spacebar.com.
The city of El Cajon is going to the dogs, trying to break the world record for the most dogs to watch a movie screening together. You're invited to bring your dog to a showing of the movie Beethoven on Saturday, February 24th at 1 p.m. in Wells Park. The family comedy film features a St. Bernard dog who causes all kinds of trouble for his human family. This event will also have fun activities for children. Be sure that your dog is vaccinated, not aggressive, and used to being around crowds with people and dogs. You can come early to enjoy dog park areas at Wells Park, then hopefully help set a world's record.
The California Wolf Center in Julian invites you to book a guided tour of their facility to see their resident wolves and learn about wolf conservation. Various tours are offered each weekend this month at 10 a.m., 1 p.m., and 3 p.m. Reservations are required. The Wolf Conservation and Behavioral Enrichment Tours are both 1 hour in length and offer an opportunity to see critically endangered wild wolves and learn all about them from an expert at the center's conservation facility on KQ Ranch Road in Julian. Both public and private tours are available, and you can reserve online at californiawolfcenter.org.
The Anza Borrego Desert Natural History Association will lead a full moon nighttime walk in South Palm Wash on February 24th. From 5 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. The mile-and-a-half-long moonlight walk is a tradition of the organization, now in its 13th year. A flashlight, water, and good hiking shoes are required. For reservations, visit the Anza-Borrego Desert Natural History Association at abdnha.org.
Young Adult Theater will present Little Shop of Horrors, February 16th through 25th at Cuyamaca College in the Rancho San Diego area of El Cajon. A deviously delicious Broadway and Hollywood sci-fi smash musical, Little Shop of Horrors has devoured the hearts of theatergoers for over 30 years. The meek floral assistant Seymour Krelborn stumbles across a new breed of plant he names Audrey II after his co-worker crush. But he soon discovers the plant's out-of-this-world origins and intent toward global domination. For tickets, visit yatsandiego.org/littleshop.
Oasis Camel Dairy in Ramona hosts its next open farm day on February 24th from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Guests can enjoy a bird and camel show, meet and treat camels and labradoodles, take a camel ride, and shop for camel milk products, including artisan soaps, lotions, chocolate, and more. For tickets and registration, visit cameldairy.com.
The 18th Annual Plein Air Invitational in Borrego Springs it promises to be a captivating celebration of art and nature. The event runs from March 4th through April 14th. The Invitational centers around plein air paintings, which capture the unique beauty and environmental significance of the Anza-Borrego Desert and Borrego Valley. While wildflowers typically start popping up halfway through February, the peak blooming usually occurs in March and continues through April. Given all this winter's rain, this year's floral blooms in the Anza-Borrego should be early and quite exceptional. 14 talented artists have been invited to create plein air or outdoor paintings during the week of March 4th to 9th, inspired by the desert landscape. Throughout the week, new artwork will be displayed daily in the gallery at the Borrego Arts Institute. On March 9th, from 3 to 5 p.m., the awards ceremony and reception will take place. You can get more information at borregoartinstitute.org.
The Heritage Events Center at Sequan Casino will host a Leap Day concert on February 29th at 8 p.m. with the Marshall Tucker Band and Jefferson Starship. Jefferson Starship has earned 3 platinum and 8 gold records, as well as many top 40 single hits, such as We Built the City and Somebody to Love. The Marshall Tucker Band's many hits include Heard It in a Love Song, Can't You See, and Ramblin'. For tickets, you can visit sequan.com.
Mission Trails Regional Park and the San Diego Astronomy Association invite you to a star party on the first Friday of each month, starting at sunset at the Kumeyaay Lake Campground parking lot. The next star party is on March 1st. Telescopes will be available to view the nighttime sky, including stars, planets, and constellations, weather permitting. Find more information at Mission Trails Regional Park's website, which is mtrp.org.
Lamplighters Theater in La Mesa will present the comic play 5 Women Wearing the Same Dress. The show runs March 1st through 24th. During an ostentatious wedding reception at a Tennessee estate, 5 reluctant, identically clad bridesmaids hide out in an upstairs bedroom, each with their own reason to avoid the proceedings below. As the afternoon wears on, these 5 very different women joyously discover a common bond in this wickedly funny, irreverent, and touching celebration of women's spirit. For tickets, visit lamplighterslamesa.com.
The Mount Helix Park Foundation will host Nature Day atop Mount Helix on March 2nd from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. This event celebrates the historic nature preserve, native plants, and wildlife that rely on habitat at Mount Helix Park. There will be fun for all ages, from kids' activities to learning lectures. Vendors from nature-minded organizations will also have booths, crafts, and activities. You can bring a picnic or get lunch from food trucks. There will be no parking on Mount Helix, but you can take a complimentary shuttle from the fire station at the corner of Vivera and Mount Helix Drive. Learn more at mounthelixpark.org.
Country music singer and songwriter Lyle Lovett will perform live in concert at the Magnolia Theater in El Cajon on March 24th at 7 p.m. Lovett has won 4 Grammy Awards, including Best Country Vocal Performance and Best Country Album. He's recorded 13 albums and released 25 singles, including the hit song Cowboy Man. For tickets, visit MagnoliaSanDiego.com.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around, East County.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from San Diego's East County.
A young male mountain lion that arrived at the San Diego Humane Society Ramona Wildlife Center on Thanksgiving Day after being hit by a car in Simi Valley now has a second chance at life. X-rays showed the 5-month-old cub had a severely fractured hind leg. He was treated for dehydration and underwent multiple surgeries, including inserting a metal plate and screws to realign the bone. Project Wildlife's team at the Ramona Center kept the lion cub first in an indoor hospital enclosure, then later moved him to an outdoor enclosure with rocky areas to explore and regain his strength. Andy Blue, director at the facility, says, "It's important he has minimal contact with the rehab specialist to ensure he does not get used to human presence." Veterinarians report that the fracture is healing well and the mountain lion is gaining weight. His care team hopes that he can eventually be released back into the wild. Mountain lions are apex predators, so it is crucial for this cub to be fully recovered and able to survive and hunt on his own. In the wild, mountain lion cubs may stay with their mothers up to 26 months, but usually separate after about 15 months. San Diego Humane Society's Project Wildlife team is working closely under guidance from state wildlife officials to determine next steps for the mountain lion. If he is releasable to the wild, he will be outfitted with a satellite GPS collar for tracking to help ensure his future health and well-being. San Diego Humane Society's Project Wildlife program is the primary resource for wild animal rehabilitation in San Diego County. Each year, SDHS gives more than 10,000 injured, orphaned, and sick animals a second chance. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Danita Ramirez.
A new report shows that despite record spending on law enforcement in California, the clearance rate, that is the rate of crimes solved, was the lowest ever. Researchers from the Center on Juvenile and Criminal Justice found that the state spent a record $27 billion on police in 2021, but the clearance rate was just 13% for all reported offenses, down from 20% in 1985. Report author Mike Mails explains.
It is the fact that police are simply not making arrests. In Oakland, for instance, they have a crime clearance rate of 2% of serious Part 1 violent and property offenses.
State Department of Justice data show that San Francisco's clearance rate for all crimes in 2022 was 6.6%. The city's police department has blamed widespread auto break-ins for the low clearance rate. But Mails says that's not enough to account for the decline in clearances over the last 30 years. Some in law enforcement have suggested that Prop 47, which raised the threshold for a theft to be charged as a felony, has contributed to the uptick in property crimes over the past 2 years and to fewer arrests. But Assemblymember Isaac Bryan notes that Prop 47 saved the state more than $750 million in incarceration costs since 2014 and reinvested the money into programs that help people find housing, jobs, and treatment for addiction and mental illness.
If we provided economic opportunity and the resources for people to thrive and live their lives, we wouldn't see rampant theft.
Thomas Hoffman is retired director of the California Department of Parole Operations. He said we need more communities to greenlight halfway houses that give people who have completed their sentences a fresh start.
We need balance in our criminal justice system. The cops play a valuable role, an important role, a respected role, but they are not the entire solution. And if we think that we're going to continue to react to crime after it occurs and that's the solution, we're kidding ourselves.
For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Radio Show, and now it's time for the Sounds of History. Many San Diego County residents have visited Julian, a historic gold rush town in the Cuyamaca Mountains in San Diego's East County. Some may also know that it was founded by former Confederate soldiers after the Civil War, but most are likely unaware of the black settlers, who also played key roles in the town's history. In fact, it was Fred Coleman from Kentucky, a freed slave and rancher who discovered gold in a stream that started Julian's gold rush in 1869. Coleman married a member of the Santa Isabel Indian tribe. He had previously been a miner in Northern California. The Coleman Mining District, in what is today known as Julian, was named for him, and he served as its first recorder. America Newton, a widow and formerly enslaved black woman, and her daughter Clara came to Julian from Kansas and started a laundry business that served war veterans, European immigrants, Native Americans, and newly freed African Americans. She used her work ethic to build a new life of freedom. In 1897, Albert Robinson, another black man, who was likely once a slave, founded the Hotel Robinson along with his wife, Margaret. The Julian Hotel is still in operation today and is a designated historical landmark. According to Smithsonian Magazine, Newton, Robinson, and Coleman confronted severe obstacles, racism, poverty, and lawlessness that pervaded the region, making their accomplishments even more remarkable. While African Americans in the post-Civil War era were often unable to find a job, in Julian, those who started their own businesses fared better. America Newton worked as a housekeeper for a man named James Cole back in Kansas, and he accompanied her and her daughter to California. Cole helped Newton file to own an 80-acre homestead just outside of Julian and built her a cabin next door to his own home. She ran her business from her cabin, carrying buckets of water from a spring nearby and heating irons over a grill in the fireplace, also chopping her own wood and driving a horse and buggy to deliver clean wash. And for those who stopped by her business, she'd also serve up water or a homemade liquor drink along with local gossip. Valerie Ashley, co-founder of the Julian African American Pioneers History Committee, once said, "Everybody knew America, and America knew everything about what was going on in Julian." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. KNSJ Radio is dedicated to providing nonprofit news in the public interest, not special interests. We rely on your support to continue bringing you important stories from San Diego and East County that you won't hear anywhere else. Please make a generous donation at knsj.org to sustain KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice. Our East County Magazine radio show needs volunteers, and so does our award-winning news website at eastcountymagazine.org. If you would like to help write scripts, learn reporting skills, research topics for our news team, or have an on-air voice to be the media, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia, and the Smashing Beats, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show, or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine radio show.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from San Diego's East County.